The letter in question,
number two.
Tape number two, Saturday, January
16th, 1993. Dion Brianna to you too.
The letter that Commander was referring to earlier was faxed to me confidentially a number of days ago. The letter was written by an attorney, Timothy Buchanan, out of Fresno, and it was to Scott Tipps regarding the University of Science and Philosophy banning of the books. And the letter alleged that there was an independent, that there was an associated entity to actually be distributing, continuing to sell the books, and that this entity was linked to Dharma. The letter also went on to say that there would be a contempt of court action following, which in effect would be a mini trial. After becoming aware of this letter, Tachby Distributing decided that the best course of action, the cleanest course of action, would be to return all books to America West. The gift had become quite a burden, and rather than turn them into the hands of another distributor in some other location, that didn't seem quite, it didn't have the degree of integrity that just simply returning them to America West had. So I hired a truck driver here in Tehachapi to deliver them directly into the hands of America West, at which point they could do with the books whatever they chose. This was a few days ago. Upon getting to Carson City, George was not there. The employees were in communication with the attorney, Scott Tipps, and the employees told the driver that they could only accept all but four of the what amounted to the hottest books, which were I and My Father Are One, and God Said Let There Be Light, Murder by Atomic Suicide, and I can't remember the fourth.
Just hold it in your heart. They're God's books. They're relative to the deity and what is God, what is the universe, and how does it work. Just hold that for a minute in your heart. Go on, Rick.
At this point, the truck driver was basically stuck with a load in Carson City. I phoned Timothy Buchanan directly and confronted him on the situation. He was stunned and shocked that indeed I was an independent entity. He had thought that Tehachapi Distributing was George Green, and he was beside himself when confronted with the reality of the situation. After one or two phone calls back and forth, at which point he had contacted his client, the University of Science and Philosophy.
And what did they suggest he do with them?
He said, my clients, as well as I, would like the, not I, Rick, I, Timothy Buchanan, would feel best if the books were destroyed, preferably by fire or simply dumping them in a public facility.
Burning books in America. Books about God. What does that tell you, people?
I made it clear that was not an option, and there were additional phone calls back and forth, at which point it was decided that the best course of action was to have the truck driver simply drive to the courthouse in Fresno, or to actually threaten Timothy Buchanan with delivering them to his personal office. But the thought of 250 some odd cartons of over 6,000 books didn't seem to sit well with him, so we decided to have them delivered directly to the federal court building, which they were, and they were taken, possession was taken by, interestingly, the General Services Administration, and the person signing off on the document was indeed the court clerk for the judge in question. I, as Commander mentioned, I had made two demands to George most recently for payment of the outstanding balance of what amounts to about $12,000. In a conversation I had with George, he had assured me that there was a response coming, and I have not had a response from Scott Tipps, from George Green, from Timothy Buchanan. Things seem to be, interestingly, very, very quiet at the moment.
Well, out of all of this, and the reason that we need to cover these things this day, is that you ones are working with no information. You have a book ready to go to press whenever it's indexed. Calls have been made to America West for ISBN numbers, and no one has responded. In the midst of this, before actually the books were returned to America West, George did speak with Karen, whom I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, said, have you spoken with EJ about this? And I believe the answer was, the next time I speak to EJ Ecker, it will be through my attorney, which obviously was and is the intent, because it's the same attorney who now doesn't want to take either side because of conflict of interest. Now, I want to tell you, that is awkward. But the first letter written as response by Mr. Tipps to Mr. Buchanan and the enemy said, there is no connection with America West with any of this. They would have had Dorma into that court in 20 minutes.
May I make a statement?
Yes.
In my first conversation with Timothy Buchanan, he said that he had received a letter from Scott Tipps denying that there was any connection between America West, Doris and EJ, and Tatchaby Distributing, and he said that he felt that was a lie.
Well, they've been following everybody around. And I came unglued and sent word to Mr. Tipps that that letter should not have been mailed. That letter should not have been mailed. He was trying to entertain friends and relatives, and he was not aware, quote unquote, of any of this going on. He certainly was. Every time that any one of you encountered those surveillance people, those agents, he was notified. The sheriffs here were notified. Charles and ones other than you even had one of the license plates. They weren't even trying to hide particularly. But this certainly was a terrorizing period of time, especially when you've got the CIA doing a much better job of surveillance They're trying to get you out of the house, and you have a federal SWAT team from the marshal's office surrounding your house, along with the local sheriff's team that just got back from Russia a few months ago. All playing games. And I said that this is not the approach. They have evidence that at least some of these parties have been doing something. And they'll throw you out of court in a moment. So the next letter that was written was modified. And at that point, America West was not mentioned at all as to even being probably or maybe not involved. I can see from a legal standpoint that they were not specifically named, but this is in the case of George Roy Green et al. And we're still not there to the point. When it comes back that he will only speak with EJ through an attorney, and he goes all the way to Las Vegas to tell Bo Greitz that we print lies and half-truths, and he's not going to put up with it anymore. But he's still going to get the word out. And he won't send the ISBN numbers. What are we supposed to do? This is the part that all of you have interest in. Where do we go from here? What do we do? Obviously, publishing the books is no problem. We can publish the books. What do we do with a loving relationship that comes to this over phony Federal Reserve notes? I would hope the error would be corrected. Most certainly, if cash flow is shallow, advance payment could be made to Tehachapi Distributing from something else to clear that debt that was probably simply overlooked. Why, precious ones, must we come to these kinds of things, these kinds of confrontations? Because everybody has a different perception and a different need. Everyone is trying to respond to those around him or her according to the way they think they're expected to. And I well remember precious Desiree in tears asking, can't we serve there as well? And I said, yes, but it would be almost impossible. And here we are today. Won't go away. It didn't revolve around returning books. It didn't revolve around returning books. They didn't know. They said it didn't matter what was done. They were still going to press contempt of court charges. Well, every now and then, I hear my scribe. And she says, how much? When is enough enough? She can hardly have time for any life at all. Has to literally be afraid of being shot if she walks out her door. Spends a third of her time in courtrooms. Even the federal court has stopped the stay on the basis of bankruptcy, but maybe Mr. Gordon overstepped his bounds a little bit, because in their cleverness they got their response in while the judge was headed for the bench, and he ruled on that, and he had not yet been exposed to the response from Dorma and her group. Dorma literally had to take a substitute attorney because she had no attorney. Mr. Tipps didn't feel good to represent, quote, in a bankruptcy, end quote. But there is a judge and an attorney who writes the bankruptcy court rule books, who has agreed to take the case. But Mr. Gordon, in writing up the ruling in court that day, said that as of the 8th, and the hearing would not be to the 10th, these ones were to be out of that dwelling. The judge caught it and sent the paperwork back to be redone. That does not necessarily mean a thing. It gives you 2 days in there that they can lock them out of the home, or do you run the risk of leaving everything in it? But at least when we go back to court, we have the writer of the books to represent the case. And that's Judge Dan Cowens. But the gentleman is 79 years old now. He doesn't want to make a bunch of trips. He said the case was so cut and dry the other day that he didn't want to make 2 trips, that it would automatically be put aside. Well, you can see that automatic doesn't mean a flipping thing. Right doesn't mean a thing. The RTC is out to gain all property. And the sooner you ones understand it, the more apt you are to handle these cases properly. And constitutional grounds is not one of them. Now I'm going to ask Oberle. Rick is off the hook. Oberle, read the letter that first of all, Mr. Dixon is, by the way, getting his... He wasn't licensed for a while. He was suspended from this God American board or bar association. And he's debated whether or not he's eligible for reinstatement. That's not a problem. But he can't stomach the thing. But it's really inconvenient, because it means going all the way to San Jose to sign a paper, see, with Cowens. He had to go to San Jose to discuss this case this weekend. And then he's got to make another trip to Fresno next week. This is getting to be absolutely so time-consuming and expensive that you wonder, can it be worth it? Freedom is worth it. It doesn't have anything to do with lawyers or houses. You're either going to regain your constitution or you're going to lose your nation. And you've got to clean up the injustice system or you cannot hold your constitution. And there are other ones in this town right here who have lost to that Dinch Doom doctrine everything they had through a court. And it was, their property was gone before they even knew they had a case. Who's going to do it? If not you, who? And yet, to just go in and think you're going to make changes because it's constitutionally right and under the common law it's right, you will be thrown out before you open your mouth. If you continue to open your mouth, you will be slapped into jail. And it usually will not be the attorney or the spokesperson. The attorneys go up there and they are on trial. Does everybody understand that? Dorma got recognized, at least in the court of law, by going forward this time when the name of the case was called. Never addressed. These two have never in 5 years been allowed a word in the court. And you ones have to experience it so that you understand and know it's this way. Attorneys get up. They are on trial. Who can lie the best? And cite cases the best. And then you go to jail. And oops, they did the best they could. And I told you before we went in there, Mr. Ecker, that I might not win. You have a sick, sick nation. You have to fight back. And Mr. Dixon was so incensed. He said, now is the time. I've been monitoring this, and now, as Dean of the Constitutional Law Center, I have to make a statement. So he sent a letter to Mr. Gordon, who represents the RTC. And now EJ is going to read Mr. Dixon's letter. And then yesterday came the response from Mr. Gordon. And so he'll share both of these with you and reevaluate where you are, America.
Hey, miss me again.
Touché out there.
That is funny.
Andy thought it was funny. This is a letter from the Constitutional Law Center to Jonathan Gordon. Dear Mr. Gordon, for your information, the Constitutional Law Center has been monitoring the RTC involvement in the Ecker case from its first non-recorded involvement. We are exchanging information and ideas with other RTC watchdog groups. That is of no importance to you and basically of no interest to you personally. But you and your firm and some associated attorneys have filed pleadings on behalf of the RTC and versus the Eckers, wherein you make statements and innuendos that the Eckers were not purchasers, not owners, and have no colorable claim or interest, etc. your pleadings constantly characterize their interest as a purported this or a purported that. The purpose of this letter is to give you an opportunity to let the Law Center know if you have any evidence whatsoever that the Eckers did not make a legitimate purchase, did not make the necessary down payment, did not have a recorded land sale contract, etc. If you have such evidence, I suggest that you provide the Eckers and hopefully the Law Center with copies of such evidence. In lieu of that proof, within a very reasonable but short time, the Law Center will assume you have no proof, no such proof, and we will file a claim against you with the California State Bar. The Law Center, in conjunction with other RTC watchdog groups, will file a major conspiracy and RICO action in the federal courts. Please respond at your earliest opportunity. Sincerely, C.E. Gene Dixon, Director. Here's Mr. Gordon's response. Dear Mr. Dixon, I received your letter dated January 8, 1993. If you are a counsel of record for the Eckers in any matter in which we are involved, please advise. It is, however, my understanding that you are not even licensed to practice law in the state of California. In any event, unless you are counsel for the Eckers in one of the matters we are handling for the Resolution Trust Corporation as receiver, you should cease and desist from corresponding with me on any matter on the Eckers' behalf. The Constitutional Law Center is not counsel of record for the Eckers in any matter in which we are involved. Further, as I understand it, you have been employed by Scott Tipps, Esquire, counsel of record for the Eckers. By a copy of this letter to Mr. Tipps, we are requesting that he explain the rules concerning unauthorized practice of law by non-lawyers to you, and that he instruct you not to write letters threatening suit on behalf of the Eckers. If Mr. Tipps is aware of your actions already, he should think carefully about whether he is violating any rules of conduct or other laws governing the conduct of attorneys. As to the substance of your letter, I suggest you promptly get advice on the subject of whether lawyers' character, whether in written pleadings or in oral argument, are the basis for filing conspiracy or RICO lawsuits. Further, I would remind you that a judgment has been entered in Kern County Superior Court which confirms our client's position that whatever interest the Eckers might have had in the subject property, they have no right to possession. The Eckers have already contested the merits of that judgment on several writ petitions to the Court of Appeal without success.
Without ever being recognized in the court of law, either.
We have no obligation to provide you with any kind of proof as to why the Eckers no longer have any legal or equitable claim to the subject property. At no time has the RTC denied that the Eckers entered into a land contract with the Haynes. We have repeatedly pointed out that the sale contract was, on its face, subject to the superior rights of Santa Barbara Savings to foreclose on the property in the event of a default. If you read the pleadings in the Superior Court case, which is now on appeal, you will find ample discussion of what evidence and law supports the RTC's position. To put it mildly, the content of your letter is beyond any reasonable bounds relating to the practice of law and the making of litigation claims. You should be assured that if you commence any suit along the lines threatened in your letter, it would be a facially frivolous action which would subject your organization to sanctions and our malicious prosecution liability. If the purpose of your letter is to simply threaten or intimidate, I suggest you direct your efforts elsewhere. Very truly, your Jonathan M. Gordon.
You think you have a prayer, America?
Just that.
You see, nothing matters. Look what is happening. in your nation. Dorma made a funny little statement last night, you know. You have knee-jerking reactions to various and sundry things. And she laughed and she said, yes, every time you mention the Constitution, Bush bombs Iraq. But isn't that the way it is? It is a show of power. And by the United States taking the control and Bush being the power behind that control, right or wrong, is showing the power of, quote, this United Nations One World enforcement. We are going to take this world whether you like it or do not like it. And they have to work with the little countries. And they paint this horrible picture. Can you imagine what you would have done a century ago had anybody suggested that you murder your own president, as they're suggesting that the Iraqis do with Hussein? Or that for a price someone go in and take him out? Or because he tries to defend his country, you bomb him? Why don't you just bomb the whole United States because Randy Weaver didn't volunteer to come down the hill and be shot? It sounds incredible, but it's the same thing. You try to hold on to your property. You try to teach your children the right things to do. And everything around them teaches them to lie, cheat, steal, and bomb. And then you have Cosmos. Well, what's happening with Cosmos? Obviously nothing. If I had the right to be angry, you cannot imagine how angry I am. You had opportunity in the palm of your hand. And a few blabbermouths go out there and you lose your chance. Does it mean that it cannot be done? No, it doesn't mean that it cannot be done. It means that it sets you back. And it means that it gets harder and harder and harder to do anything, including so much as speak to an attorney. This man will not go beyond good morning to any parties involved. And just like Mr. Tipps will, what do you mean, conflict of interest? You're my attorney. Well, yes, but I'm their attorney, too. Well, you can't be both. So I'm not give anybody anything. Unfortunately, when the advice was given, it served more to the Eckers, but it was given with a benefit toward America West. And yet, what is he supposed to do? He's caught in this kind of a rigmarole. Every time he crosses a system, they work to get his license. And you're certainly not going to be able to go to any of these courts without somebody who has a valid license. And yet what the American Bar Association does is just wipe out the licenses if you cross them. Titles of nobility. Titles and titles of nobility. The 13th Amendment got buried, guess who by? You don't have any board that brings quality to the practice of law or medicine. You have a facility drawn up and made by these ones for these ones, and none shall cross them. Yes, sir, all of you. I go on record this minute. We are going to push, shove, support, carry Mr. Greitz if we have to. I know the man. With his human flaws, I know the man. And those rough edges will come off. He will do anything that is right and just to save your nation. He is not a white supremacist. For goodness sakes, he had an Asian wife and two children. Is he perfect? Oh, goodness, my goodness. He would be the last to say. But in studying the Constitution, he saw how it could be handled. And if you follow parole, you will walk right into the pit. Parole only tells you, send your $15, get on the list. And then when I don't want my name on the list. We'll just send your $15 and let it go. But most want on the list and want recognition. Dear Mr. Perot, dear Ross, just call me George, just call me Henry. Hank is better. And we'll do the Texas two-step across the world. And we'll watchdog this national debt. The one, the same debt that Mr. Clinton has now told you all bets are off, can't keep any of those campaign promises. Gonna have to raise the tax on gasoline, going to have to tax you people, going to have to hit your middle class, and all bets are off. Mr. Bush lied to me about the national debt. Mr. Bush also lied about Irangate too, didn't he? And now that it's too damn late, it's out in his diary, isn't it? But not to worry, because the October surprise is all over with. They investigated, and there is nothing to it. Mr. Kerry's bunch went over and checked into the POW MIAs, and those 2,500 men will be murdered. Because Mr. Bush is giving free trade and inter trade status to Vietnam. and the Koreas. Well, you knew it was coming. This was the last-ditch effort to bury those nice guys who keep interfering with their business. You know, families keep bringing them up. Why don't those families just go die, too? They'd like that. But it's so obvious. Let's hang it on Keating. Well, they can't let Keating stay alive too long because he's going to be pissed off. They promised to take care of him, and what did they do? They did. They gave him like 2 full life sentences to bury him so far in there that he'll have to suicide himself, won't he? And when he does, poor depressed person, they'll manage also to get the kid suicided. And that's enforced silence. But you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. We told you it was coming if you didn't know it already. What did they do in the Philippines? They dismantled the bases and the docks, etc., and took them to Vietnam for this day. You might as well have pulled the guillotine lever. Now, Mr. Greitz has been kind enough to respond to me. And I said, sir, I will quit printing all of this stuff that you call crummy crap when you give me something worthy of putting on the front page. I will do so. Our people will be very happy to do it. And he has. You see, what he has going with God is none of my business. I am sent as a head of the host of God, traveling with that nice guy you're waiting for. And my mission is to make sure there is a landing place, and some of you are on your Giandriana well enough to be able to get back and forth. The more the better, because we are going to blanket you when it says, you shall know him. Everyone shall know him. There will be a capsule around this planet like you cannot believe. And you will know. And it's going to be God's people that can make it to those clouds of silver. Well, why didn't you just tell us this, Commander? I was ready to do this, Dorma said, 2 days after I started writing for you. Sure you are. Commander Leah had them out there with a pick and shovel. They were going to find gold nuggets, too. Funny thing is, they're there also. Leah couldn't understand why in the soup they couldn't see them. Ah, you're headed for glory. But you still got to struggle there, haven't you? You've got to get a nation turned around. Because just because you're in this time doesn't mean that you're today and there tomorrow. It could very easily be here today and blown away tomorrow. Saddam Hussein has nuclear bombs. He's got nuclear-tipped missiles. He's got anthrax-tipped missiles. This is not what it appears to be. So you have to deal with what you know. Overly find the place in the writing that we're going to put in the paper about Spike.
All right.
Read a little bit of Commander's response that we're putting in the paper, but let's share it a little bit now because we must give him support. And right off the bat, I'm going to ask Mike to hold it in his heart. I'd like you, please, Mike, to go to the first seminar, the first session, wherever it is.
Tape's in me.